Let's just worship God. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that Jesus, you paid our ransom. You paid the ultimate price. And that, Father, he trusted you to raise him from the dead, and you did, Father. And with him, we are raised. And his victory has become our victory. Oh, Father, we worship and we boast. We boast in nothing but what you've done for us. And we worship you and we thank you today. Oh, we thank you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Easter Sunday, celebrated all around the world. I love watching the news tonight. I love watching people coming together to worship Jesus. Worldwide, it is the number one attended church service. All right? And it's so wonderful. And as Christians, it's one of the reasons why we decided to have a tradition to worship on a Sunday is the Lord's Day, the day that he was raised from the dead. Luke chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee.'" These women came on Easter Sunday with the job of a mortician. They came to prepare Jesus' body. But they left with the job of an evangelist. Go and tell. Tell his disciples what you've seen. Tell that he is risen. Now thank God that we need to know from the gospel accounts the truth about the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. We must continue to refute the lie that comes up in modern day circles, and sometimes, unfortunately, even in modern day theology, that Jesus was not raised from the dead, that Jesus was wounded, and he recovered from his wounds and married someone and moved to Turkey and became a shepherd and then died just like you and I. All these silly stories that come up every few years. Because Paul made it very, very, very clear that if Jesus was not raised from the dead, we are accursed. There is no Christianity without the empty tomb. There is nothing that is true about the New Testament if Jesus did not actually physically die and was actually physically raised from the dead. And we believe that he ascended to his Father. Amen? And that he is alive forevermore. But the other thing that we must realize and remember, that Easter and the victory that Jesus had over the grave, his victory was not for himself. Jesus did not need to go to Calvary for Jesus. This was not something that needed to be done just for heaven. What Jesus did, he did for us. Last week, we saw from the Word of God so clearly that when he was at Calvary, the sin of the world was put upon him. Jesus died because of us. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. But just as the cross was about Jesus identifying with our sin, when he was raised from the dead, he identified with our need to be raised. With our deadness, his victory became our victory. What Jesus did was not for himself. Now, there is a wonderful concept, and it's one of the key truths of the New Testament that we must comprehend and understand. And if you read through the epistles, you've probably seen this phrase over and over again. And it is this phrase, in Christ, in Him, in whom. And it is this phrase that is about identification. That we identify with Jesus Christ. You see, Him coming to the earth was all about Him identifying with us. He became flesh. He, the Creator, became like the created one. He became flesh. He identified with us, but it was so that then we can identify with Him. Probably all of us have this concept to a degree, all right? How many of you watched a certain football match that took place on AstroTurf in Lesotho recently? Did you watch that game? All right. How many of you emotionally felt something around the 83rd minute? Did you feel something? Physically, emotionally, right? I hope you didn't throw your shoe at the TV, or I hope, right? Something happened, correct? Now, why was that? Why did you feel something emotionally? If we go back to the glory of AFCON, right? People dancing, running in the streets, hugging complete strangers, running around like children, huh? Now, why was that? Were you on the pitch? We won. What do you mean you won? No. What did we do? We identified. We identified. Now, that makes sense for people who are Zambians, or those of us that have made Zambia our home, all right? We identify. But there's another thing that some of you have done. You identify with an Italian or a Spanish or an English football team. You've never been there. Probably when you were 5 years old, your dad or your uncle liked Man United and you decided to like Man United, right? Or everybody at your school liked Liverpool, so you're going to support Chelsea. Or you just like the color blue, right? We don't know why. But people identify with these teams so much so that they use these terms. We are going to lift the cup. Right? Am I right? People do it all the time. We identify. Now, here's the thing. Paul talked about, you know, the crowns that we get down here. Those are crowns. Those are cups. Those are medals that fade. That is, they don't last till the next year. Last year's hero is this year's failure. Okay? But Jesus didn't do this as if, hey, why don't you put on a Jesus jersey and we'll all be Jesus supporters? No. We identify with Him because it actually spiritually happened. When Jesus did what He did, we, as followers of Jesus, it spiritually happened for us. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. And if you understand this concept, you will see phrases that just jump up out of the epistles. Every time, every page, He identified with us. We identify with Him. His victory became our victory. Colossians 2 and verse 11. And it just starts off with this phrase. In Him, you. In Him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That is, not physical. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him. Everybody say, with Him. All right. Now, obviously, you and I know that physically did not happen. All right. But spiritually, it did. All right. We were buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised. I'm so glad that Good Friday finishes with Easter Sunday. Good Friday wouldn't be good without Easter. All right? So we were buried with him, but we also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. So something happened when we were forgiven. Something bigger than just kind of a clean slate and a new account. We were made alive together with him. If you remember the choice, right here is where Jesus, a.k.a. Sims Malozzi, came walking out, right? Jesus came off the cross, dead and bloodied. He came out as the resurrected Christ. All right. But if we could kind of picture when Jesus Sims comes walking out of that grave, you and I were hanging on to him. He carried us. We were dead in our sins. We were buried. We were finished. There was no hope for us. But when Jesus arose, we came out. We came out of the death. We came out of the grave. What he did for us and with us. All right? Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having, past tense, disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In what? In his resurrection. Is there a devil? Yes. Does he have demons? Yes. Are they defeated? Absolutely. They have been disarmed. And Jesus is not worried about the devil, and neither should we. Why? Because we're with him. He disarmed them for our behalf. All right? So this happened to us. We died with him. We were raised with him. And Ephesians also tells us that when Jesus was, he ascended and was seated with the Father, we are seated with him. Sometimes I kind of had the idea that, you know, there's God and Jesus is at his right hand, and there's us kind of down the line. We're seated next to him. No. We're in Christ. We're in Jesus's chair with him. Amen. Raised and seated with Christ. This literally happened. Now, there's a wonderful analogy that we have, because one of the things that we see that God does, and he certainly did this with the Old Testament patriarchs and the children of Israel, is because they were not spiritually alive, they were spiritually dead, he had to communicate everything through the physical senses. And so there were festivals, there were meals, there was blood, there were altars, there was bronze, there was gold, there were robes, because everything had to be seen, because nothing was inward yet. All right? So the old covenant was a completely outward covenant. It couldn't change our heart. Now the New Testament comes along, and we have a new heart, and we have a new spirit. But God still has some ordinances for us to help us to physically be able to conceive spiritual things. All right. When we take communion, all right, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." I want to give you this because it will help you. It's a physical act, but it will help you to remember. Yesterday we had a wedding here, and the couples gave each other's rings. And I said over them, I said, I pray that these rings will be a continual reminder of the covenant that you made this day. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a thought. Don't take your rings off. You could have amened a whole lot better than that. Okay. I mean, take your rings off, wash them, wash your fingers, but put them back on. Amen. If you're going out of town or going out of the country, keep your rings on, man. All right. But God gave us a wonderful New Testament ordinance All right? And it is a physical expression of something that spiritually happened, but it helps us to understand it. And that is water baptism. Water baptism. We would encourage anybody at Miracle Life, if you have not been baptized since you believed, as the New Testament prescribes, sign up for the next water baptism. Go public and make a physical and public display of your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? I was baptized as a baby. It wasn't my choice. I made a choice when I was 17 years old to follow Jesus Christ, and I followed with water baptism. So glad that I did. But turn with me to Romans chapter 6, because what Paul is going to do is he's going to explain this ordinance of baptism, this physical expression, all right, and how that relates to the identification that we have in Jesus Christ. All right. Now, I hope you know that water baptism does not save you. All right. Someone that is not born again can be baptized, and they will be, before the baptism, they are a dry sinner. And after the baptism, they are a wet sinner. Okay. The water doesn't save us. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? And so he's saying, don't you know? That means it's possible that you don't know. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? All right. And that is the outward sign during water baptism. Why do people go under the water? It's a sign of death. It's a sign of being buried. All right. And we've never lost anyone at Miracle Life, but how many of you know if we left them under there too long, they would physically die. All right. So it is a sign of death, but thank God we don't stay under the water. We come up out of the water, alive, cleansed, different. All right. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as, everybody say just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so it is very clear, and it's very easy for us to understand that when Jesus went to the cross, that was me. That blood was because of my sin. The Passion of the Christ, I think the opening scriptures from Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That he did that on our behalf. And so we identify with Jesus at the cross, and we should and we must, but you can't stop there, folks, because the work of Jesus not only forgave you, but he raised you to a new life. He raised you to something new. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Aren't you glad? We don't have to be. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing, you got to know this, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion or authority over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon, consider. This is a truth that you need to realize and apply. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. Now, you see, when Jesus died And when he went to the cross, he took the penalty for our sin. That was the judgment of God. That was the condemnation of God. That you are guilty, and if you are guilty, then therefore a guilty person deserves punishment. So at the cross, Jesus took that for us. Amen. Now imagine, governments around the world, they think a lot about these things, that when someone in the judicial system that is found guilty of a crime and they go into prison, the goal ultimately would be that they become rehabilitated in prison and they come out different, right? That's what governments hope. In America, there was a study in the church I grew up in. There was a wonderful prison ministry in our church, and a man and his team did a great job with that. And where I lived in that area, we had a number of prisons in our county. And 80% of the men that went into prison came out and went back in. Many times prisoners, when they go to prison, hanging out with prisoners, what do they get a degree in? Crime. They learn how to be a better drug dealer. They learn how to be a better tax evader. You know, all these different things. And so there is no change. There is no rehabilitation. Now, what our county discovered was all of the men that had gone through this prison ministry discipleship course, only when they got out, only 20% went back into prison. A 60% difference. Why? Because something happened to them. Something changed. All right? And so God, at Calvary, God is not just intending for you to get out of jail and that you're no longer being punished for your sin. He wants you to live a new, free life. A life that is no longer attached to the shackles of sin or that way of thinking. All right? Now, there's a concept that I think in Easter Sunday is a great, great time to talk about this and to look at this, is that it is false, it is deception, and it's just plain stupidity. All right? And that is that for Christians that, you know, they mess up, they make a mistake, and they say this: well, we all sin. We're all sinners. You've heard this phrase, everyone makes mistakes. That's not in the New Testament. Paul never said that to the church in Corinth that was involved in backbiting, slander, sexual immorality. He never wrote them and said, oh, guys, hey, I love you. Everybody makes mistakes. No, this is what he wrote to a huge church. He said, here's the deal, guys. There should not be a hint, not a sniff, a whiff of any kind of sexual immorality even be named among you. That's the deal. That's resurrection life. That's what Easter is about. Amen. It's not about us celebrating Jesus was raised from the dead. Woohoo! And then going back to live a dead life for the next 364 days. And then we come back to the next Easter service. Oh, Jesus was raised from the dead. No, no, no. Easter is for you. New life is for you. Go back to verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Some people want us to, having been forgiven, raised up, then we go back and live in oldness of life. Now, how many of you know that when Jesus died, His body was a mess. And when they wrapped him in those grave clothes, how many of you know that it had to be bloody? Right? And so when they took off those grave clothes, one of the things is that's what those women, when they went into the grave, those grave clothes were left there. What does that mean? Jesus wasn't wearing those clothes. God gave them new clothes, clean clothes, glorified clothes. Amen. And so baptism is and this idea that we died with Christ, we were washed, we were cleansed. We don't go back into the grave and put on our bloody outfit and come to church and say, well, everybody sins. Everybody makes mistakes. No, no, no. Leave it in the grave. That's the old you. That you died on Good Friday. The new you was raised on Easter Sunday. The victory that Jesus accomplished was not for him. It was for you. He didn't need Easter. You needed Easter. Raised in newness of life. Now, what does this mean? It means that sin is destroyed. It's done away with. Now, here's the deal. Sin, and Paul makes this very clear, sin has no dominion over you. It has no dominion over you. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. No talk about 2-week deliverance services, 600-paged deliverance manuals from Nigeria to deal with spiritual husbands and spiritual wives and spiritual grandfathers and stepwives and all this completely anti-biblical, anti-Calvary nonsense. If you have that in your home, throw it away. Throw it away. If you can lift up the where you have your septic tank or your soak away, put it there because that's where it belongs. Don't let anybody get a hold of that nonsense. Go to Romans, go to Hebrews, go to Galatians. Find out who you are, what Jesus did for you. Amen. So here's it. What do? Don't let it reign in your body. Verse 13, don't present your members, your body, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead. Pastor, I thought this was Easter. I thought we were going to get an Easter sermon. Tell your neighbor, this is an Easter sermon. This is what Easter is all about. All right? Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Just like death doesn't have dominion over Jesus, he arose. Sin does not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you have no excuse now. Well, I'm just a sinner. Oh, it's just so hard. Everybody does it. Oh, my hands just took the money. Oh, I didn't know what came out of my mouth. Oh, I just can't help it. My wife made me so mad. Oh, that nice looking girl just walked by. No, 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 no. It's all an excuse. It's all a lie. Sin has no power over you. The cord has been pulled. There has been load shedding. There is no power. There is no startup generator. It has no power. So now, for the believer, for the resurrected men and women of God in this auditorium, sin is simply a dumb choice. It's a dumb choice. And you can walk away from it every day of your life. Now, how do we do this? All right, one of the wonderful things that we can do, all right, is that we identify with Jesus, not with Walker, not with Paul, not with Mary, not whatever your name is. We don't identify with us, our life and our past, our present. We don't identify. We identify with him. All right? You talk about, we're at the head of the table. I tell you what, we are going to win the cup. Oh, I tell you, it's so awesome. See, that's why we celebrate, because we are in him. We're with him. All right. So we rise to newness of life, not oldness of life. All right. I do not identify with the old me. Now, I want to share with you, and this is going to be a challenge for some of you. And that is because maybe the way you were raised or the way you thought about yourself or the way you think about yourself. All right. But if someone was, you know, just going to tap you on the shoulder, or if, you know, if an alien came down from outer space, there are no aliens. OK, but they say, you know, who are you? What's your deal? What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Ah, I'm a man. I'm an accountant. I'm a PhD. I'm Zambian. I am from Sri Lanka. I am from the UK. Right? English, that is, just, you know. And see, none of these things are bad, right? None of those things are inherently bad. I drive a certain vehicle. I have a wonderful physical body. All right. And so where do you go to identify? Where do you go to think about you? Now, some people, life has been so hard. They've made so many mistakes that they identify with all of the yuck of the past. Well, I never made it through secondary school. I'm not very professional. I don't have a lot of money. I'm not very pretty. I've got a big head, a big nose. I don't drive. I do drive, but half the time the car doesn't want to drive. And so that's how you think about yourself. All right. Because here's the thing. We are bombarded with media and hype and attention. And you know that there are people now in 2013, they are famous for being famous. They've done nothing. They've invented nothing. They've made no contribution to the world other than they're on E! News. And they walk on a red carpet. And you're like, why are you? I don't know why they're here. They're here. Or singers that can't sing, or dancers that can't dance, or, right? Our world was filled with that. And so if we allow that thinking, then we're going to allow that into our life. Now, I want to show you what Paul's strategy was. Paul's strategy. Because Paul had some good stuff from his past that he could have identified with. He had some bad stuff in his past that he could have identified with. Let's look at two passages about where Paul went to think about Paul. All right, let's start with the good stuff. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 4, it says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. In the flesh, all right? That is in your own natural ability. Maybe some of you were born on the right side of the railroad tracks. Technically, you're royalty. You are very smart, very educated. We are, your bank account is just wonderful. It's so fantastic, all right? Paul said, I've got a lot of reasons to be confident in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. What he's saying is, if you want to get into a CV battle, bring it on. Let's do this thing. All right. And here we go. Here's Paul's CV. Verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day. And a lot of this is his Jewishness. All right. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. What does that mean? He memorized large, huge passages of the Torah. Don't mess with a Pharisee when it comes to Bible memorization. All right. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But those, what things were gain to me, I have counted, I identify them, loss for Christ. Indeed, I also count all things loss. Everybody say all things. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Now, how many of you cry and have a depression and call all your friends when you take out the trash? Oh, those eggshells. Oh. I'm just so sad to lose. There's been a loss in our family. We lost the eggshells. No, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. You just take it out. You don't even think about it. It's gone. So Paul said, all of these things that people brag about, the way I think about them, stinky trash. I don't even consider it as anything. I count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. That's the deal of my life. Now, so there was some stuff Paul could brag about, but there's also some stuff that he wasn't happy about. He called himself the chief of sinners. All right. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." Of all the apostles, and so many of his colleagues were people who followed Jesus. People who weren't there when Stephen died and consenting to his death. People that didn't run around putting Christians in jail. They were praying. They were faithful to the Lord. He came a little bit late, all right, to the party. Verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." By the grace of God. Now, what does that mean? It didn't come from Paul. It didn't come from my family. It didn't come from my heritage. It didn't come from my lineage. It didn't come from my education. It didn't come from my bank account. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, you see what Paul is doing? He's saying, I identify with Jesus. Not with my family, not with my tribe, not with my education, not with my job, not with my position, not the thing that I put on the front of my name and behind my name. Most High Reverend Professor Doctor, conferred by honorary degrees from some little town in America nobody's ever heard of. God bless you. All right. Whether you earned it or whether you didn't earn it, what Paul is saying, hey, I am Paul by the grace of God. That's me. That's my thing. And that's how I think about myself, because I realize Paul died with Christ. When I went under the water of baptisms, it was like that. I died with him and I was raised to newness of life. Amen. All right. So we identify with him, not the old us. Now, all of us in this room, all of you that are followers of Jesus Christ, how many of you had stuff in your life before you met Jesus that you're not proud of? Stuff that you did. All right. If we were to put up on these screens, you would run out of the building. Okay. And it's a fact. All right. Paul said that some of us once were. We were all of that. Okay. Now, one of the things about being alive in Christ, resurrected in Christ, is that we can still face temptation. Right? Jesus was tempted in all ways, like we are, yet without sin. Temptation is not a sin. Temptation is temptation. It is an opportunity for an alive person to act like a dead person. It's an opportunity for the new you to act like the old you. And one of the things that we have to be aware of and conscious of is that typically temptation will come through a pathway that you already established in your life. All right. I've never snorted cocaine. That just never happened. Now, when I was 15 years old, if somebody put it in front of me, honestly, I probably would have. All right. It just, my little town, we didn't have that kind of stuff. All right. But I was certainly interested in any kind of sin I could get my hands on at that age. All right. And if you had it, let's try it. Okay. But thankfully, I never had to do that. So now, today, I don't think back to, oh man, was that nice to snort cocaine? Boy, was that nice to just shove that powder up into my nasal cavity and allow it to go through my bloodstream and my heart starts racing. Oh, that was so wonderful. Because that's what we do. We have memories of that stuff, right? All right. If you are a believer in Christ and you weren't a virgin when you got married and you slept around and now you've been married for 10 years and you get into an argument with your wife, what's the temptation? I don't need this. I don't need this at all. Ah, oh yeah, remember that. Oh gosh, that was so... And the possibilities, you could go back to that path. All right, but here's the thing. Who do you identify with? Who do you identify with? And when that temptation comes, immediately identify with the risen Savior. Does Jesus, seated at the right hand of God, have trouble stealing today? Does he have trouble lying or with sexual immorality or getting angry and allowing bitterness to overcome my life? Does Jesus have a problem with that? No, he doesn't. Then guess what? Neither do I. Put on your red jersey. Amen? Say, we are taking the cup. We are at the top of the log. Jesus and I, we have no problem with this. You must identify with him, not the old you. And so that's why I think it's such a tragedy that churches keep telling you, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. It's very, very sad. Also, I understand there's some folks that, single people and evidently even single people in this church that, they're single. They're on their way to getting married. Oh, I live with my girlfriend. I sleep around with my girlfriend. Well, what's the deal? Hey, what's up with that? Oh, no, it's okay. I'm under grace. I'm under grace. Not Bible grace. Grace, Titus says, the grace of God appeared to all men, teaching them to say no to all ungodliness. Not yes to all ungodliness. You're not under grace. You're under selfishness. You're under lust. You're under abusing another person for your own pleasure. You're under delusion. You're under deception. And if you think it's okay, welcome to Easter Sunday. Get out of the grave. Leave the grave clothes behind. Walk in newness of life. Amen. Leave that life dead. Because it is. It has no power over you. Amen. Let's look at another verse. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll close here. Colossians chapter 3. Friend, you have to understand, this is not an obscure scripture. This is one of the main themes of the whole New Testament, that you're risen with Christ. Colossians 3:1. If you were raised with Christ, everybody say, I was. All right, if you were, all right, and we are. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. What are you seeking these days? What's a goal of your life? Well, I tell you what, my ex-wife, my ex-girlfriend, I tell you what, they are going to live to see my prosperity. Oh, yeah. Boy, I'm going to invite them to my wedding. I'm going to invite them to my housewarming. I tell you what, they are going to see what they rejected. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you're seeking that. Okay. All right. Is that at the right hand of God? Then don't seek that. Don't seek that. Well, I am just seeking for just a real makeover. And I am just going to get so fabulous and sexy and new clothes. And I tell you, men are going to be attracted to me like bees on honey. And I'm just going to have to beat them away with a stick. Whether you're married or not. Yeah, it's the new me. It's the second half of my life. And it's time for me. It's me time. All right. All right. That's what you're seeking. How many of you know that a lot of ladies are seeking that? All right. Let's take that. Is that at the right hand of the Father? Don't seek that. Don't seek that. Seek stuff that's at the right hand of the Father. Okay? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your mind. Set your mind. Who gets to set your mind? Oh, I tell you what, the devil's just been giving me all these thoughts. Oh, I tell you, he's just been tormenting me. Oh, I tell you what, I'm just so distracted. No. Nobody's got power over your mind except you. Nobody. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That means you cannot be reading 4 newspapers a day and 3 online news publications and read 2 Bible verses and think that you're setting your mind on things that are above. No, you've got them on things down here. Did you hear about this? You are an expert at all the political rumors. Well, I heard. Did you hear? No, I know. I have a well-placed source, you know. And well, good for you. But here's the thing. That's on the earth. That's on the earth. Set your mind, set your affections, set your heart on things above. Why? Verse 3. For you died. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. See, where's my life? It's with Christ. Where's my destiny? It's with Christ. It's not with my prophet. It's not with my apostle. It's not with this church. My life, my destiny is hidden with Christ. And so all the time, I'm gonna talk to him. I'm gonna think his ways. I'm gonna renew my mind. I gotta get his word into my brain because that's where my life is. That's where my life is. New Living Translation says, for you died to this life. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Message Bible says, the old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. He is your life. So what is Easter about? For us, it's about identifying. I am putting off the old man. This is what the Bible talks about. I die daily. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just, you know, it spiritually it happened one time, but you apply it daily, daily, daily. If you're a husband, if you're a wife, it means you live selflessly. Selflessly. Relationships are not about self-actualization. They're going to make me who I've always been meant to be. No, relationships are about sacrifice. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. It means blood. Your blood. It means sacrifice. It means, Father, not my will, but your will be done. It means giving her the best piece of chicken. Well, I'm a man. Yeah, I know you're a man. Woohoo, you're a man. Guess what? You get to be like Jesus. Get a towel and a bowl and wash her feet. Well, I don't do that. Well, disobey the Bible and see how that works out for you. You thought you were coming for Easter. You did. This is Easter. It's new life. It's resurrection life. I put off the old man. And I, every day of my life, I put on the new man. Created in true righteousness and holiness. It's not about a hairstyle. It's not about the length of your skirt. It's not about whether you wear makeup or not. That's, and we can try to control holiness. But wake up to who you are and then let that person out for the world to see. Live as the resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen. When he arose, you arose. There is a new you. Don't identify with a dead person. Don't identify with old, stinky grave clothes. Clothe yourself in Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our head. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Easter. Father, thank you for an empty tomb. But Father, thank you that our life doesn't have to be empty. Our life doesn't have to be without power. Father, thank you that when Jesus came out of that death, we came out of death. We came out of sin. And so, Father, every believer in this room, Father, we have no excuses. We are empowered. We are graced. We are emboldened to live a new life, a Jesus life. A life that is glorious, a life that shines, a life full of love. Father, help us today to apply that into our life. Thank you, Father. I want to challenge every single Christian in this room. You've been making excuses. Well, I'm just a human. No, you're not. You're in Christ. You used to be a human. Well, I'm just a sinner. Yeah, you used to be, but you're not now. Stop talking that way. Stop thinking that way. Stop excusing the nonsense of your life. That was your old life. Stand up. Put on Christ. Amen. You're dead to that stuff. You're dead to that stuff. Stop making excuses. What you excuse, you keep. You keep it. You keep it. Turn. Turn to Jesus today. Receive that power. Receive new life. It's yours. It belongs to you. It's who you are. Identify with him. Don't identify with the old you. Don't identify with some whatever. Well, I guess this is all the way my family is. Maybe they are, but that's not you anymore. Well, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. Maybe you're not in you, but God has called you to do something great. Stop making excuses. Amen. Easter means you have power. The resurrected Jesus lives on the inside of you. Thank you, Father. Father, as believers, Lord, we realize who we are. We realize what you've done for us and through us. And Lord, we receive that today. If you're here in this place with every head bowed and every eye closed, Jesus was raised from the dead. He died for you. He was raised for you. All of this was with you in mind. If you're here today and you don't know him, you haven't received him, you can. Heaven is not reserved for people who are perfect. It's reserved for people who are forgiven, who have accepted this wonderful gift that Jesus came to give you. It doesn't happen just from coming to church or for signing your name on a piece of paper. It happens when you personally, with your heart, say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Come into my life, and I choose to follow you. If you're here in this place, you've never done that, or you are a believer, but you've turned your back on God, and it's time to come home. Don't run away from God, run to him today. If you're here in this place and you say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I want to know Jesus Christ like you're talking about. Right now, wherever you are, simply raise up your hand. Say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to know him. I want to receive this Easter gift, this resurrection life. Anybody, God bless you. Thank you. Who else? Say, that's me. I want to know Jesus. I want to receive his life into mine. God bless you. Thank you over there. Yes, thank you so much. Anyone else? What a great day to know the Lord. What a great day to come to him. Before we pray, we don't want you to be missed out. Make that decision today. Anyone else? All right. Can we all stand to our feet? Everyone in the auditorium, let's stand to our feet before we go. If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, grab your Bible, your belongings, and just come and meet me up front. Come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. This is going to be your resurrection day. This is going to be your day of new beginnings. Amen. Let's just give these folks a hand as they're coming. Wonderful. Awesome. Bless you. You lifted up your hand. You should have lifted up your hand. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, if this Bible, is there somebody coming? We don't want to miss you. All right. God bless you, sir. If I were going to give you this Bible and I paid for it, but it was going to be a gift to you, how would you receive it? Right? You would reach out and you'd receive it because someone was giving that to you. Well, what God has for you, the gift of new life, it is a gift. It's free. But we receive that gift by faith. And so we express that faith from our heart by what we say. And I want to lead you in a prayer that will do just that. It will open up your heart and say, Jesus, come in. Are you ready to do that? I believe you are. Just go ahead and lift up one of your hands towards heaven and say this with me. Say, God, I believe Jesus is your son. He died in my place. You raised him from the dead so that I could know you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn away from my old life and I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for giving your life for me. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. In your name, amen. Amen.